Khan, come. Put there. In front of Amitabha. In front of Amitabha. Okay. Sadhu. Offer the rest, the garland. Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can start our puja. Okay. Compose your mind. Develop the faith, sadha, virya, then we will start. 那么本师释迦牟尼佛，那么本师释迦牟尼佛，那么本师释迦牟尼佛，那么阿弥陀佛，那么阿弥陀佛，那么阿弥陀佛，那么观世音菩萨，那么观世音菩萨，那么观世音菩萨，那么弥勒佛，那么弥勒佛，那么弥勒佛，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨。阿拉汉萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦布当巴嘎万当阿比瓦迪米。Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami Okay.Now you can turn to your puja book. Turn to page 1 and we will recite. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa.Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Buddhang saranang gacchami Dhammang saranang gacchamiSanghang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchamiTatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyamiKamesu micacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Surameraya majapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyamiNow we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna sara paditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hinaPujaye pujaniyantang Puja bhajanamuttamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kasumasantatin Pujayami monindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kasumenanenaPunnena mattena cha hotu mokhang ปูปังมิลายาติยาตาอิดังเมกายโยตตายาติวินาสบาวังอาริวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังโอเค now we will recite the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we were offerings of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness, ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May all morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May these offerings of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on with sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become Balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits. Be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Here we pay respect to Triple Gem. Badang Pujemi. Dhammang pujemi, Sanghang pujemi, okay, we can off the light, then we can have about maybe 35 minutes of meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start. For those who maybe need instruction, you just remember what we have gone through. Read up the blue book. If you still need to train your mind because your hindrance, mental hindrance are still there, then you train. You can use the mind sweeping method to help decondition your heedless thinking. Then through that process, your mental hindrance can be temporarily subdued. Then the other thing is, after you have developed the Mind Supreme Method, you should combine with loving kindness, metta, to bring about inner well-being after you have developed the inner peace. Then later on, as you become more peaceful and more calm, you should use this anapanasati or any skillful means that you are familiar with, or any object of meditation where you can anchor the sati or mindfulness to this object of meditation, so that you can stabilize that sati or that quiet mind, silent mind, so that it becomes stable. So when sati is stable, it will accumulate into samadhi. That's how the meditation can progress. For those who already have developed the training and you are already peaceful because the spiritual faculty is already established, you can just silent your mind, relax, and maintain awareness on whatever object of meditation that you are familiar with. Otherwise, you can just relax, lie down, and stay at your heart area. Don't go and focus anywhere. Just stay there, silent everything, and let the silent mind detect whatever vibration that arises. It can be your heartbeat or whatever. Let it detect by itself. Then you just silent everything there. Then allow the mind to be as it is, without thought. Then whatever that arises within the six sense or your sense basis, you will become very, very aware of it. And the clarity will be there. And that is what meditation is all about. The awareness that is aware of the sense experience that arises upon contact with every moment of sense experience that arises. Our five physical senses together with the mind, they form the six sense basis. Upon contact, the respective sense or consciousness will arise. Then because you have your brain, your memory, your conditioning, your views, your opinion, they will input the content of consciousness. That's how the citta come about. Citta is content of consciousness. Together with the awareness, then they form the thought. Meditation is to develop the understanding of that content. What constitutes the content? How did those content went in? When the content of consciousness is with the evil root, you must be aware. When it's without, you must be aware. Then the various mind states that arise and pass away, you have to develop the understanding of it. Then through this silent observation, you will develop understanding, clear understanding of how you function as a human being, how your mind functions following the dependent origination as taught by Lord Buddha. All this you will come to understand. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell after about 30 minutes. want to meditate, you can continue. Further yourself and now slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. Yeah. These are the mind states that you have trained, and you have to stabilize all these mind states that will enable you to develop the meditation in the midst of life. So we need to carry this trained mind states of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness into our daily life. So the real meditation is daily mindfulness in the midst of life. To stabilize this mindfulness so that it can enable you to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path leading to the awakening in the midst of life. Okay, now we go to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. I'll read you the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhaman Muni Rajasa Sunanto Sakamokadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Ittipiso Bhagava Arahang Sammasambuddho Vijjacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Atta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditat Bhuvino Hiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang punyakitang lokasati. We will still continue, chant the next page. Salutation to the four main objects of veneration. Divida Chitya Vandana. Vandami Chetiyang Sabbam Sabbatane Supatititang Saririke Datu Mahabohing Buddha Rupang Sakalang Sada. The meaning is, I will recite in English. I salute every shrine or chetia that stands in any place. The bodily relics of the Buddha or the Enlightened Ones, and the great Bodhi tree and all the images of the Buddha, means the Buddha Rupang. We chant one more time in Pali. Vandami Chetiyang Sabbam Sabbatane Supatititang Saririka Datu Mahabohing Buddha Rupang Sakalang Sada. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we pay respect to Pajama. Bedang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay. Before we continue from where we stop, the Diamond Sutta, I will make a short announcement. Because I think I only wrote an email to Padmasuri, then I copy to some of those who has this affinity to go the Bodhisattva way. So this one is to let the rest of the Tuesday class know. Next Tuesday, 19 April, I will go through the Bodhisattva precepts basing on this Master Shen Yuan's book. You don't have to have this book, don't worry, I will read through to you. Those who have, you can bring. Then I will also explain what are these Bodhisattva precepts and vows, and how you can develop them, and how it is very conducive for cultivators who have the understanding. Without this understanding of the Bodhisattva way, this cultivation is not easy, because the Bodhisattva way can really bring forth, as per what our Diamond Sutta mentioned, you have to cultivate with that type of understanding, then only you can really progress. Otherwise, whatever you do, it can take you a long, long time, but your progress is actually very slow, limited. According to the Diamond Sutta, which we have gone through many times, so Sakyamuni Buddha explained clearly to Subhati. He said, for those who take the Bodhisattva way, they will cultivate it following the Diamond Sutta. Means they will develop the understanding of the cultivation so that they can cultivate to the extent that there is no mark. No mark of a self, a personal self cultivating. No mark of any living beings to be saved. And no mark of any Dhamma within the conditioned world. So all these are very, very different type of cultivation, and you can develop the understanding and cultivate this way, It was mentioned in the Diamond Sutta, even understanding four lines or four stanza, then you develop it, then use it, use the understanding to share with the world your field of merits that the cultivator who has this ability to do it is far, far more than any being, is it, who may possess the seven treasure in this universe and make all these seven treasure offerings to all the Buddhas of the 3000 world system that merit still cannot compare to that Bodhisattva who walk this Bodhisattva way and just cultivate the four stanza and share it with the living being. So the extent to which the merits that can be cultivated or accumulated through this type of understanding is very different, very, very powerful. That's why this Bodhisattva way is seldom made known to the world and seldom taught to the world. And many people has a lot of misconception of what this way is. So since there are conditions, people requested for it, then we already, I think, more than 1 year into it, last year, the whole of last year, then now the condition is such, we are ready to actually explain all this, so that the following week, 26th of April 2016, I will officially have a special puja, to actually take the Bodhisattva vow. Then I will also guide you all as to how to develop the aspiration, so that life after life, when you come, or you have to come, or you choose to come, you will have this type of Dhamma understanding. Then I will spell out all the essential Dhamma understanding that you need to develop, so that you commit them to your nature, so that this understanding will follow you life after life. Then you don't have to go through life like what happened earlier on. When there is no sasana, you will not have the teaching. Then you will follow the law of karma, and most living beings, they become miserable, they suffer. Then even then, when the sasana is there, you may not have the condition to connect early. And by the time most of you all connect, you all may have to overcome a lot of karmic obstruction before you can really come into contact with it. But once you make this type of vow and aspiration, it can bring forth the causes and conditions for you to immediately connect. And it's not difficult. You only need to determine with utmost sincerity and faith, and all this can happen. So remember, next two Tuesday class, they are very important. So try your very best to be around. Today I will just read through to you a very simple write-up which I have prepared. The Bodhisattva vow. The Bodhisattva vow is a vow taken by Mahayana Buddhists to attain complete enlightenment for the sake of sentient beings, all sentient beings. One who has taken the vow is known as a Bodhisattva, whereas the Patimokkha vow, the monk's precepts, they cease at death. The Bodhisattva vows extend into future life. There are two traditions of Bodhisattva vow, one originating from the Asanga tradition and the other from Nagarjuna tradition. A Bodhisattva vow is found at the end of the Avatamsaka Sutta, spoken by Samantabhadra Bodhisattva, which is Pusen Pusa. And they explain that the Bodhisattva vow is taken with the following two famous verses from the Sutta. So those who follow the Avatamsaka Sutta Sutra format, they will recite this. just as all the previous Sugatas or Buddhas generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplished all the stages of Bodhisattva training, so will I too, for the sake of all living beings, generate the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish all the stages of Bodhisattva training. So you determine through this, following the tradition from all the other Buddhas who has done it. Then after that, you will take the vow. Then before you take the vow, you make aspiration for you to have this type of understanding, life after life. If you don't have that type of understanding, you take this vow, no use, because you don't know what these vows are. You cannot understand their significance. But because you have determined life after life to have this type of understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, that's why when you come, you will understand why these four basic vows of Bodhisattva are so powerful and so useful. Then it also mentioned about the Bodhi mind. Means the moment you determine through your understanding, your sincerity, and your real utmost resolve to walk this way, you plant the seed of Bodhi. That seed of Bodhi is very powerful within your nature, because that is what you are aiming for. You remember Hui Ning, when he went to meet up with the fifth patriarch? You remember what he told the fifth patriarch? I came to seek none other than Buddhahood, he said. He straight away tell the fifth patriarch. And the fifth patriarch said, who are you? Where are you from? He says, from the south. Oh, you are a barbarian from the south. How can you intend on Buddhahood? Then Hui Ning answered beautifully. He said, we may have north and south in appearances, but when our Buddha nature is concerned, there is no difference. There is no north and no south. That nature is just that nature. Then after that, the fifth patriarch knew, is it? You talk too much, you go to the kitchen, is it? That's how it all started. So if you have that resolve on Bodhi, when you come, even like Hui Ning as an illiterate, that understanding is there. You only need the condition to listen to truth. The moment truth is being spoken, you will connect straight away because of your vow. Because you vow to penetrate all Dhamma, understand? So all these are Dhamma. The moment they arise, you connect. Then suffering also you will understand one. Because you vow to endure and severe all vexation, all suffering. Then you vow to liberate all sentient beings and take them all across. So you cultivate without the self. You come for the sentient being, you come for living beings, and you develop all this selfless type of cultivation, perfection. You just do. And you know this is the form and mind, a vehicle and a tool karmically conditioned out for you to use, to cultivate, to develop all this understanding. So you just use it. So the aspiration that I will teach you how to make will cover all this, so that this path becomes very easy, so that in future when you come, you don't have to toy around like before. And this one, very few cultivators understand. They only teach you how to take the vow, but they never teach you how to life after life determine to have this type of essential right view with regards to all these essential dhammas that all Buddhas have taught. Means basically avoid all evil, cultivate all virtue, then purify your mind to develop wisdom so that you can liberate beings. So these are the three sets of pure precepts that Bodhisattva will also carry with them. When you have these three, the four basic vows become simple. But to do this, you must have the understanding of this essential Dhamma that we have already developed the understanding earlier on. So this is what will be given to you. I will print it out for you. So there are two sets of notes. One is the Bodhisattva vow, these general notes that I have just read. The other one is taking of the Bodhisattva vow and making of the aspiration or resolve. So these two will complete what you need to have. And keep this, file it out, refer to it constantly, read through, reflect, contemplate, and determine to have this understanding, so that life after life, your path will be very easy. You will become very different. Your cultivation will become very different. Forget about what people tell you, Theravada, Mahayana, Vajrayana, forget about it. It's not important. The Dhamma is more important. Why you want to argue? Why you want to create division among yourself? Why you want to call yourself Theravada? And why you want to doubt Mahayana? And why Mahayana want to look down upon Theravada? No more meaning. To me, it is the essential Dhamma that you must have. If you have the Dhamma, you are beautiful. You are not divine. Division comes from the discriminative mind, the mundane mind, the deluded mind, the mind that don't have the understanding they were divine. So always remember, don't even want to argue with people, no point. When people ask you, oh, you take Bodhisattva vow, you Mahayana, you just smile. You say, what's the difference? Who discriminate, Mahayana or Theravada? It is the thought, the deluded mind, the mundane mind, the mind that doesn't have the understanding. So all these are delusion created by thought, thought divine. That's why Krishnamurti say you have to be aware of the power of thought to divine via words, concept, idea. So when you understand the limitation of thought, you will not be deluded by thought. Then you will know how to use thought appropriately. Then that mind, the five degree of form and mind, become beautiful. Where the user of this thought has the wisdom and the understanding, is not deluded. It's not what they call gullible anymore. It does not cling, it does not grab, it does not create any more of this division through ignorance. So these are the important pointer. So now I read on. The promise to keep the Bodhisattva vow applied not only to this life, but to each subsequent lifetime until perfect enlightenment. Thus this vow continue on our mind stream into future life. Means your what they call, you say, when you come, if you have to come, means you come to rebirth. So this continuum of consciousness or mind stream, they will continue. Upon death, rebirth consciousness continue. Then after that, the next one, the next one. So this mind stream, if you take that vow, it is not like precept. After that form and mind die, that segmented life die, the precept die with it. Understand? Because precept you need to renew them. Keep on renewing them. But vow is actually one go. If you do it once, it will stay with you until perfect enlightenment. Means it will drive you. But just for those who still have fear, that one is because your mind is still deluded. You still have fear. Well, brother, how what happened if it's so long? I cannot take it. You can drop out or opt out anytime, because you got nothing to lose. Understand? You can cultivate until after a long, long time. If you think that thought still so powerful can create such illusion in you, you can still renounce it. Then you say, okay, this practice is too long. I would like to renounce all this vow. I would like to realize enlightenment in the here and the now. This segmented life straight away. You can, but I ask you one question. Is it going to be easy for you? Yeah, this is what the thought tells you, and you are going to be in trouble because the I want to be enlightened this life. And who say too long? Who say too long? The mundane mind, the mind of Bohi don't have such a word. He just do. That's why I say three things. You only need three things. Very simple thing. And the way is there. You will perfect it. What are the three things? Faith, sincerity, and perseverance. These three, is it so difficult? It's not difficult. If you have the faith, if you are sincere to walk this way, you only need to continue through perseverance, and the way will be wide open. And with this style of understanding, life after life you come, you become so beautiful. That's why my second last teacher told me, he said, it may be very, very long, but she used the word, hella rewarding. Really rewarding, he said. Because there was so much joy, so much understanding. And even when she was cultivating in many lives, in the channel ground, you know what is a channel ground? You know what is a channel ground? You don't know. Burial ground, where the dead people are. They last time throw all the dead people there, they don't bury them. Then they let them rot there. They call it the channel ground. Is it even there? The nature will still arise. Then he said, all of the great Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, nature, they are ever radiating for the cultivator of the way, even in the channel ground. Because in many lives, when she was meditating in the channel ground, that nature came. Then it arose in her. That's why there was a poem she wrote. I don't know where I put it already. I hope I can find it. Then one day I read to you. That poem was given to me in 1992, I think. How many years is it? 92. 24 years. 24 years. That one, the original was given to me. The photos that he gave to the New Zealand lady, Patsy. I don't know where I kept it. I must have kept it somewhere. Anyway, if there is condition, if I found, I managed to locate it, I will share with you all. Maybe those going with me to Melbourne, you may get to, but remind me, before, remind me to look for you. Otherwise, when I go there, I don't have the thing. I want to bring that thing there so that just in case if she is there, maybe she will remember. Because that poem was very unique. She just wrote it on a piece of paper, a few sheets of paper. Then later on, I went to Brickfield. I found this book, so the top 10 disciples of the Buddha, all the life history of this top 10 one. I managed to get a few of this book. I remember Sariputta, Anuruddha, Moggallana, and a few more. Then I read through. Then I realized, what she wrote in the poem was actually described inside there. That cultivation thing and all those things. So much similarity, That's right. But I lost that book. I don't know where that book. I think I gave that book to her. But I was full of joy. Then I gave that book to her. That was the only copy I had, and I gave it to her. And I don't have it anymore. But I got the poem. I remember I got the poem. Okay, I read on. In the Tibetan tradition, there are two lineage of Bodhisattva vow too. The first is associated with the Chitta Matra movement of the Indian Buddhism, and is said to have originated with the Bodhisattva Maitreya. and to have been propagated by Asanga. Oh, it came from the same one. The Tibetan also use the same one. The second is associated with Mayamaka movement, and is said to have originated from Manjusri Bodhisattva. So they took from the Mahayana. And to have been propagated by Nagarjuna. You know who is Nagarjuna? Longsu Pusa. The one who went up to the to Sita heaven to bring down the teaching when Sakyamuni Buddha's transformation body was delivering the Buddha Dhamma, Abhidhamma in the Tusita heaven after the mother passed away. So Longsu Pusa was the one. He was like Ananda. He listened, he can remember. That's why he bring the whole sutta down. So a lot of people cannot understand Mahayana teaching because they say it's never in the Theravada recorded teaching. But Theravada did mention that he created a transformation body, Sakyamuni Buddha, to teach the mother in the Tusita heaven for 3 months. So that one is in the Theravada Sutta. But what he teach, not recorded in the Theravada Sutta. We are at that time, if I'm not wrong, Ananda is just a sotapan. He cannot understand those teachings. So that's why it was not recorded. Then Longsu Pusa was the other tradition. They are the great bodhisattva at that time. They already great bodhisattva. Understand? They are not sound hearer. That's why they are different. So those teaching, they actually continue later on when Bodhidharma went over to China. Then when it was in China, that this teaching, the Mahayana teaching, was imparted. It must be through one of those patriarchs. Okay, now we continue. In taking this vow, you will join with hundreds of thousands of Buddhists in the West and millions in Asia who have done so. So you are not alone. You don't think you are the unique one, the few very unique one. No, millions in Asia has taken that vow. Even the Kuala Westerner, tens of thousands. Oh no, hundreds of thousands, not ten of thousands, have already taken. As is traditional, you might seek out a Buddhist center or a temple and take this Bodhisattva vow in the presence of a teacher. Or if you cannot do so, you can take them even at home. Create a sacred space and place there the images of the Bodhisattvas and Buddhas who have gone forth before you. If you wish to invite friends or friends to be your witness, you can sit quietly for a while and reflect on the beauty and value of a life dedicated to the benefits of all sentient beings. When you are ready, add any meaningful ritual like the lighting of candles, the offerings of fruits and other things, and the taking of refuge. Then recite your vow. Here is one traditional verse, but there are many others. So this one is from one of the Theravada tradition. You will be very surprised. This was written by Jack Confield. Theravada tradition. It says, suffering beings are numerous or numberless. I vow to liberate them all. Attachment or suffering is inexhaustible. I vow to sever them all. Dhamma doors to truth are numerous or numberless. I vow to master them all. The way of perfection leading to supreme enlightenment is very arduous. I vow to realize it. You can modify the language of this vow so that they speak your deepest dedication. Then you can repeat them every time you sit in meditation to direct and dedicate your practice so that you affirm them that life after life when you come, you are going to take this form, and you are going to cultivate until perfection. The other one, the taking of the Bodhisattva vow, which I just finished preparing today, I haven't printed it out yet. I will print it out later. Then I will pass it to you all on the 26th. So be patient. Okay, now we continue with where we stop. Turn to your this Diamond Sutta. We are at page 64. Nothing attained, nothing spoken. Chapter 7. Before we start, we will recite the opening verse. Turn to page 1. Then we recite together. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Then we turn to page 64. Okay, before we read to you the page 64, I will read to you the other one. The other version. There is another version, chapter 7. Then Sakyamuni Buddha asked Subhati, "What do you think, Subhati? Has the Buddha arrived at the highest, most fulfilled, most awakened and enlightened mind? Does the Buddha teach any teaching?" Subhati replied, "As far as I have understood the Lord Buddha's teaching, there is no independently existing object of mind called the highest, most fulfilled, awakened or enlightened mind. Nor is there any independently existing teaching that the Buddha teaches. Why? Because the teaching that the Buddha has realized and spoken of cannot be conceived as a separate, independent thing, and therefore cannot be described. The truth in them is uncontainable and inexpressible. It neither is, nor is it not." What does this mean? What this means is the Buddha and the disciple are not enlightened by a set method of teaching, but by an internally intuitive process which is spontaneous and is part of their own inner nature. So now you understand why this chapter 7 is so abstract. So this one is a independent translation by an Englishman. And this Englishman is not bad. That's why I found it on the internet and I printed it out earlier on to you all. I think you all have a copy. So this version will complement Xuanhua's version. Because Xuanhua's version is, I think, they use their own translation from their own site. This Englishman, he has gone through many of this Diamond Sutta translation. Then he also used his own understanding. Then he tried to do his very best to come out with his own version, which I found him quite okay. Not the bad. Because some of the words he used are actually better words. But he also has his shortfall or shortcoming because he is limited by his own understanding. But he has the what they call advantage of the other translation. So the other translation, they have used certain words. Then wherever he can improve on it, he will use another word. If he cannot improve on it, he will choose the best among all the translation, and then he put that one there. So in doing so, his version is also considered not bad for an Englishman. So now we go back to Xuanhua. Chapter 7. Nothing attained, nothing spoken. That's the subheading. Subhati, what do you think? Has the Tathagata attained Anuttara Samyat Sambohi? Has the Tathagata spoken any Dhamma? Subhati said, as I understand what the Buddha has said, there is no concrete Dhamma called Anuttara Samyat Sambohi, and there is no concrete Dhamma which the Tathagata has spoken, and why? The Dhamma spoken by the Tathagata cannot be grasped and cannot be spoken. It is neither Dhamma nor no Dhamma, and why? Unconditioned Dhamma distinguishes worthy sage. You see the two differences are. But if you combine them, then you will know. Both also got their shortcoming. The actual meaning is, you see, when you talk about Dhamma, what is Dhamma? You remember last time I explained to you the Mahayana? The tortoise that carry the Tipitaka. Living being laugh at the tortoise. Carrying the Tipitaka for thousands of years, still don't know the teaching. Then the tortoise look at the living being and laugh back. Is it only living being think the Tipitaka is the teaching? Tipitaka is just the word, and it's not the teaching. Is it that Tipitaka point towards enlightenment? If you want to realize the enlightenment, you have to go beyond the Tipitaka. That's why it's not just word, not just the book. That's why the Zen, they have this finger pointing at the moon. If you want to realize the moon, that finger is a pointer that points towards, just like the Dhamma, pointing towards the truth for you to awaken to, But the finger is the finger, isn't it? The finger is not the enlightenment, isn't it? The finger is not the moon, isn't it? So if you deludedly overlook and think that the Tipitaka or the Dhamma is the enlightenment, then you are being gullible, understand? You are caught. But for the Buddha to come to the world to share this teaching, he need to use word, understand? That's why there is Dhamma, understand? That's why Dhamma belong to the existential world. And it's just like a pointer that points towards the truth. It's not the truth. Although we say the teaching of the Buddha is the truth, the Four Noble Truths. But truth is not enlightenment. Truth is like a pointer that points towards enlightenment. You have to awaken to this truth. You have to realize this truth. And then only you become the form and mind. Realize it, then the awakening is there. So that's why nothing attained, nothing spoken. So if you have this wisdom, you will not be deluded. But Xianhua's translation, sometimes you can't blame them, because I think they are good in Mandarin, they are not good in English. And the Western disciple that learned from them, I think they also try their very best to use whatever English that they know. That's why they like the word concrete, like engineer. Concrete. Concrete Dhamma means very solid one. There is no such thing. So this particular chapter has its very beautiful, unique way of sharing. Okay, we read the commentary. Tathagata is a Sanskrit word which translates as the Taskamwan, which is another name for the Buddha. It is the first of the 10 titles of the Buddha. It means that the Buddha has realized the way, which is Tas. What is Tas? Suchness, forgotten already. That's why the Buddha is also called the Tathagata. Understand not? Tathata is suchness. Tathagata is a Buddha who is an expert in suchness. So Buddha has realized the way which is Tas or suchness, and he has come to accomplish the right enlightenment. has the Tathagata attained Anuttara Samyat Sambohi, means Sama Sambuddhahood. Attain is defined in relation with loss. When something has been lost, it may be attained. In the sentence, one should replace the word attain with the word loss. Did the Tathagata lost Anuttara Samyat Sambohi? If he did not lose it, then it is impossible for him to attain it again. That explanation should make the meaning clear. If one look at both sides of the question, one will truly understand. This is Xuan Hua's explanation. I will not explain it this way. Because you cannot say that it is something you have lost, then only you can attain back. No. When you are deluded, you are not awakened. So. But then when you are awakened, you are no longer deluded. It's either or. You cannot say that because I already awakened, then I lost that enlightenment. Where got such thing? The moment the form of mind awakened, it's never lost. Always there. Cannot be lost. But anyway, this is what Xuan Hua interpretation is. So we have to respect him. He was also my precept teacher. I took refuge under him, my whole family. And I had a lot of gratitude towards him. In 1986, when I met him again for the third time, I became very serious. I took that refuge. That refuge was very unique. It's just like what I will administer the Bodhisattva vow to you, if you take it seriously. Because that time I took it so seriously. I brought my whole family there. And I really vow. He just administered to us the five precepts, and to become his disciple. Then he told us one thing, which I felt so like so strongly inside me, You know what his vow was? He said, not until all his disciples realize Sama Sambuddhahood, he will not realize his own Sama Sambuddhahood. Then he appealed to us, you all better work hard, otherwise you cause your teacher to be lag behind. He go and put the time vow. So because of that, I say, I will go all out to fulfill this vow. Then later on, I realized that vow was already there. That's why very strange. Because after that, I remember a lot of things happened. That's why 86 to 89, a lot of things happened. After that resolve. And before that, the sign came also. I told some of you, Kuan Yin came with the triple gem on my hand. He just gave me this instruction. He said, you have to move fast. Not much time left. Then I just woke up. She opened my hand. Then when I saw the vase, I knew it was Kuan Yin. It was an old lady in white. Then when she poured the triple gem, 1, 2, 3, in a line on my hand. Then he said, you have to move fast. Not much time left. From that moment onward, everything happened. The book come, the teacher come, the guide come, everything come. You ask me why, I also don't know. Because this form am I at that time, don't understand. But it is so beautiful. Then later on, as I develop the cultivation, then as I recall and inherit all this, then the understanding came. Then it understood how all this are possible. That's why the year 2008, our good friend, Maitreya, he appealed to my nature, to share this true understanding with the world. And at that time, I said, you are the Sammasambuddha, you don't have to be so courteous. You just instruct, I will do, no need to. 请你把正法传下去, in a very, very like courteous way, you know. 请你没算, request you to share this true Dhamma with the world. He used the word 正法, you know, and golden word one come out from his mouth. The way he laughs, you know, is definitely him, his trademark. And golden word just come out like that, word by word. 请你把正法传下去. Then the background laughter, ha 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 ha, five times repeated, with the golden word all come out. That's why for the first time, got this type of thing. That's why you tell people, nobody will believe you. It's a fairy tale, really fairy tale. And the whole thing eliminated out, you know. And it was so bright, so clear, so beautiful. And that one, no tummy. That Maitreya, no tummy. So it was so beautiful. So that's why later on, in fact, at that moment when he mentioned it, I knew. Before that, I already knew that this understanding that my nature had developed from the past and which it able to have within this segmented life is very different from the usual one. My nature already knew that this teaching is very different, very, very different. That's why when he mentioned that, I knew what he was telling me. That's why I told him, no problem. I said, even you just instruct, I will do. You don't have to go to that extent. Then after 2008, a lot of things happened. That's how Subang, the Subang group came about. Me, Sui An and Mi Fong Sai. That you all should thank Mi Fong and Ing Bi. They were the one that actually requested me to start the class in her house. Then Yun Chan, of course, 2004. So 4 years later, I went there. Then many things happened after that. So far, coming to our 12 year, 2016, 12 years, 04, 16, 12 years. So hopefully by the time this year 12 finish, all of you already very different. Yeah, possible, not impossible. You still got many more months to go. Even now there are quite a number who already have the understanding connected. By then I think a lot of you will be very different. Even now you will understand your life has become so different. You have developed so much understanding and you are able to actually appreciate life so much better. And your defilement, your delusion are so much less. And your awareness, mindfulness is so much more compared to before. You are no longer like before, heedless, think a lot, worry a lot. No more. Now everything is like very easy to understand. At the most, sabbe sankara anicang, sabbe sankara dukkang, finish already. After that, no more thinking. Sankara all subside. Then, rupang anicang, rupang anatta, straight away, no more power over you. All of form cease to have all power over you. Because the Dhamma becomes so clear. Then when you chant this, you chant your understanding. I remember at that time when I was cultivating, I went to my teacher's monastery, Srinatharam in Thailand, near Mae Hon Son, northeast of Thailand. Oh no, northwest of Thailand. This side is west, yeah. That side, northwest of Thailand, near Burma. So at that time, I remember the first trip I was there, it was early morning. the ants came. Then after that, the chanting start. Then when the ant dispersed, the chanting start. Then I told the Uncle Ku, I said, we have to go to join in the chanting. He said, so early, 3:45 a.m. in the morning. I said, yeah, this is Sunyataram. Sunyataram means, you know what is Sunyata? Sunyata is emptiness. So Sunyataram is the forest monastery of emptiness. So my teacher Ajayantra liked the word Sunyata. His monastery he called it Sunyataram. So it comes from the word Sunyata, emptiness. He although started off as a Mahayana monk, but he got very strong faith in Kuan Yin and Mahayana teaching. He was the one that actually keep on talking about Kuan Yin and the Mahayana teaching. So he has a lot of very strong metta, loving kindness, compassion and all those things. So during those times when I had the opportunity to be with him, I learned so much from him. But I met him only off and on, short period. Even when I visit him in Thailand, only 9 days, 10 days. And when I went to Australia to attend his Katina, all those things, it's also about 10 to 12 days. But enough. Then in between when he come, I recorded all his talk. I listened to all his talk. That's why all the teaching, the important teaching, the moment I hear it, I no need to remember. The understanding is there, then I can recall. Then I know how to apply. It's just like now you all can apply what I share with you. Last time my teacher Achayantra shared with me, inside okay, outside no problem. These are the important pointer. Then like Gong Qing Lao Er Sang, 做完了没事了，对也接受，不对也接受。 Then later on he also shared with me, he said, it's only my teenager rolling by. We choose to accept everything as natural. Oh, that statement was so powerful. That's why I love it so much. Then there are a lot that I share with you all. You all can go and compile it later. In fact, there are many that I share with you all through my own understanding. So all this, you can slowly, slowly write it down. You remember what constitutes wrong thought. Then the other thing is, I cannot recall. There are many other things. Whenever you are not peaceful, unhappy, the evil roots are there. This one nobody teach me. This one I contemplated myself. So you can use them. Whenever you are not happy, not peaceful, the evil roots are there. Then you don't have right thought. Then things that are fit for attention and unfit for attention based on Asavak-sutta, you should actually recollect them. Then through mindfulness, be very mindful of them. Whenever you dwell on something that are unfit for attention, then you check. The asavak that are not in you will start to arise, because these are the things that are not conducive for the development of Dhamma. It will trigger off more and more defilement, more and more what they call evil roots. Then the arisen, they will become more. So these are the things that are unfit for attention. Like all your fearful thought, lustful thought, your craving, your desire, your selfishness, your envy. These are the what they call things that are unfit for attention that you should not pay attention to. So when you start to develop this type of understanding, your mind becomes very different. Then whenever you got wholesomeness, you got mindfulness, you got clarity, then you will understand the appropriate Dhamma. That's why later on the vow will become like very clear to you. Oh, no wonder the vow is on there. Wait till 26, 2 weeks from now, we go through. Then you will develop deep understanding. Okay, we go on. Anatara samyat sambohi is the unsurpassed, proper, equal, right enlightenment, means samasambadahut. Then the next sentence is, has the Tathagata spoken any Dhamma? One can also turn it around and ask, has the Tathagata not spoken Dhamma? If one say that he has not spoken Dhamma, he has. If one say he has, then why did he himself ask if he had or not? Why should one reply? What should one reply at that point? The Buddha asked the question to test Subhati's wisdom. If he had prajna wisdom, he would understand the principle. As to whether the Tathagata has attained Anuttara Samyat Sambohi, Subhati made no reply. He said, my idea of what the Buddha has said is that there is no such thing as Anuttara Samyat Sambohi. There is no Dhamma by that name. There being none, what could be attained or what lost? Why is there no such Dhamma? Because there is no concrete Dhamma which the Tathagata could speak. When the Tathagata speak of as Anuttara Samyat Sambohi is nothing more than a name. In actuality, even the name is empty and without independent existence. Since it basically does not exist, what could be attained? What could be lost? So he is actually using his own way of understanding to explain it. But what I explained to you just now is clearer, understand not? Because this Dhamma is beyond word, beyond thought. You cannot use word. Because the word Dhamma or the Tipitaka is not the truth. That's it. So here he is trying to use word, understand not? But that is based on Shenhua's understanding. That's why he explained it that way. For me, I will not explain it that way because I understand what Dhamma is and what the real thing is. The real thing is an awakening. It's not a knowledge. It's not a Dhamma. But Dhamma points towards the truth and it will set for you the direction to cultivate. It's like a map showing you the way to realize that truth. But that itself, that map, is not that thing, Anasana. You want to realize the Samasambuddhahood, it involves eons and eons of cultivation and perfection. How can it be attained? But people have to use word to communicate. Then, like, if you have the understanding, this segmented life, which is the Nimanakaya. You know what is Nimanakaya? The functional body that performs the function of the Buddha. Or for us, is the functional body that performs the function of a human being. This life. So this Nimanakaya is not you, Anasana. But this is the one that can realize and awaken. Then you can say this fellow is enlightened, but this is not me. This is condition arising, causal phenomena. So this segmented form in mind is just a condition arising entity. This segment of this nature's coming, this is the vehicle. This is the segmented life. And you can say this one is awakened, like during the Buddha's time. That is the Samasambuddha, correct? Anuttara Samyat Sambohi. That's why we chant Itipeso Bhagava Arahang Samasambuddha. So all this is true. But that one is not him. That one is a segmented life that inherited all this. Because when he meditate and connect, the spiritual nature come back to him. The spiritual perfection of all the eons and eons of cultivation come back. Then the Nimanakaya, which is the functional body, together with the Sambhogaya Kaya, which is the spiritual body, the spiritual perfection, it transforms this one into Dhammakaya. That's how it speaks the Dhamma. And that one becomes the Samasambuddha. But that one is not him. That's why he is not deluded. That's why he is it. He always taught his whatever sutta. Ananda will put, thus have I heard. And he never say the Buddha, no, he said the Tathagata. He always start with the Tathagata. Because this is the right way to address him. Because that one is not him. He is the embodiment of all his perfection and wisdom. So how can that form and mind be him? No. But that form and mind, because it inherited, connected, and the spiritual nature there, that's why it can speak the Dhamma. It can manifest the Dhamma. That's why this one becomes Dhammakaya, the third body, the Dhamma body that speaks the Dhamma. So this is why the Buddha said, he asked this Subhati, he said, the other version is better. That's why nothing attained. Did the Buddha attain Anuttara Samyak Sambhohi? You cannot say he attained. And these are all words. Because when you realize that thing is a perfection that took so long, even though that life when he was in India 2,000 years ago, the spiritual nature come back to that form and mind, the Nibbanakaya, it doesn't mean that that thing is with him. But there is a nature. That nature is not a being. It's not a permanent unchanging entity where you can hold on to, cling on to and say, this is me, this is I. No such thing. So that's why this particular chapter 7, if you have not developed the real cultivation, you cannot understand. Okay, we read on. The teaching is spoken because there are people. The medicine is prescribed because there are sickness. The Dhamma which the Tathagata speak cannot be grasped. It is like sweeping the floor when it is dusty. Who speak, who sweep? The Dhamma spoken is Dhammadas, which the Tathagata sweep away. It cannot be grasped. It is not Dhamma and not no Dhamma. What Dhamma is there? There is none. There isn't anything at all. So these are all just playing with words. But we have developed the understanding, so it's easier. Therefore, that which distinguishes the worthy sage is unconditioned Dhamma. This one is correct. Unconditioned Dhamma. Unconditioned Dhamma is not active and devoid of mark. Very true. Characterized by its lack of mark. Basically, the Buddha Dhamma does not need to be studied. Now you agree, huh? Last time, how care, but I don't study Dhamma, how to understand? Who study Dhamma? The thought study Dhamma. How can the thought understand? The thought is full of Dhamma knowledge. So that's why you have to silence your mind and awaken to it. Dhamma cannot be what they call learn. You have to awaken to it. Basically, the Buddha Dhamma does not need to be studied. No one is apart from it. Everyone is capable of understanding it. The word knowing is wrong, understanding it. When attachment is relinquished, the Buddha Dhamma appears. Oh, see? So easy, eh? Non-grasping, the Dhamma is there. The moment you grasp, you are deluded. That's why Dhamma not there. Just like the word, now you see, now you don't. If attachment are not relinquished, if attachment are not relinquished, the more one grabs, the less one has. Before everything has been put down, nothing can be picked up. It is necessary to put attachment down with the left hand and with the right hand. Pick up real mark, prajna. This one is all Shenhua's version. we don't have to follow. But to say one can pick up prajna is just a figure of speech. That is not to say that there is actually something which can be grasped with the hand. If one can grasp all of empty space in one fist, then one could grasp whole the real mark prajna. If unable to grasp all of empty space, and in one sweep of a hand, one should make no futile attempt to clutch a real prajna mark. That's why you cannot grasp. Real prajna mark or real mark prajna exhausts empty space and pervades the Dhammarai. All things are basically within the real mark prajna. How could a firmer grip than that be had? It is simply because our attachment that the basic substance of the Dhamma body has not been attained, and one's original face not recognized. Then he quoted the sixth patriarch poem. You know why they use the word original face or not? Because it comes from the Mandarin word, Bǎn Lái De Miàn Mòu. Actually, it's your original nature, the source of all things. This one is the poem by Six Patria, Pu Thi Peng Wu Su. Bohi is never a tree. Then the bright mirror has no stand. Ming Qing Yi Fei Tai. Then Ben Lai Wu Yi Wu. Originally, there is not a single thing. Then where can the dust alight? He Chu Re Chen Ai. So this is a very beautiful saying by the sixth patriarch Huining when he countered Sensu's poem. Sensu's poem was very good, actually, at the Theravada level. But when you meet somebody like Huining, the whole thing gonna smash, completely wipe off. That's why Sensu cultivate until like that at the gate of enlightenment. But the mind couldn't cease. That's why he couldn't realize the true nature, the true mind. But Huining, who had realized the true mind, he straight away knew that Sensu was still caught in duality. That's why this poem was beautiful. Pu Thi Peng Wu Su, Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai, Ben Lai Wu Yi Wu, He Chu Re Chen Ai. Those who can truly put everything down and investigate the meaning of that can attain genuine, originally existential, real mark, prajna. To say it is attained is just a figure of speech. There is absolutely nothing to attain because nothing was ever lost. So this is Xian Hua's version. Okay, good. At least we finished one chapter. Okay, we still got 10 minutes. You got any question or not? While I have a drink. Anybody got any question? Can follow or not? The mic is there. Or anybody want to share anything?
Brother
Song, yeah, good.
Okay. Xing Jing emptiness.
Yeah.
为什么我那天的 feeling 是 feel 到它是 love and compassion? The difference 在哪里?
Okay. I think you better tell them your experience, otherwise they cannot follow. Let him explain what he went through. He was in the office, he said, one day, while driving. You continue with that one first, so that they understand how your question come about.
从驾车那边开始。
Yeah.
Okay. 有一天早上我驾车去 office， 我在听那个 emptiness 的那个talk，
Glenn talk that I delivered
那个 emptiness 的 talk， 当我听到 Bradley 你在讲色即是空，空即是色的时候，我的眼泪就流了出来。那是我正在驾车。Then after that， 放工的时候，我在 continue 听的时候，当我听到 emptiness 这个字的时候，我全身的毛孔站起来，
yeah.
我 vibrating 全身站起来。So 第二天的 next day， 我就 record， 为什么这个 clang 的 talk 我听第四次了？为什么在这个第四次的时候我会有这样的reactions？
嗯
，Then suddenly 我的心里面就 feel 到就感觉到我跟这个心经好像是很久的老朋友了，原来我已经跟他是一个很久的朋友这样，
嗯，
他的那个感觉就下一个感觉就是我很像 meet 回我这个老朋友了，当我一感觉到我 meet 这个老朋友的时候，我的眼泪就一直流出来了，等我这下一个的 feeling 就是我 understand 了这个心经，它全部是在这个 heart 里面的一种 feeling， 连我的 talk 在上面就讲，哎，我还笨读我的下面这个心这一边，他完全不能够understand 为什么会这样子的 reactions。
嗯。
Then after that， 我上个拜四我要去这个 Thursday class， before 我去的时候，我在我的 office， 我有时间，我就开了这个Sanskrit 的 Hasutra， 我在听。当我一听到的时候，我的眼泪就一直在流。
嗯，是的。
我的眼泪一直在流。Then， 我的心就突然间就感，我在 Silent Mind 里面去听这个Sutra 的时候，我的心里面就说，这整个 Heart Sutra 就是只是一个 Love and Compassion。
对，是的，是的。是的 ，very good。
那我突然间过后，我才想到，哎，以前我在阿加安娜那边也是听到这个 Sanskrit 的Heart Sutra， 我的 tears 就 drop。那一天我在 office 的时候，我听到说我一直哭一直哭的时候，我的里面想，哎呦，我就是 meet 到了跟这个老朋友，很像相遇了。很像很久的老朋友了，突然间我们 lost 了很久， and then 我那一天我就在 office 里面很像 meet 到他了，我的 tears 就一直流一直流一直流，然后他里面就讲他只是一个 love and compassion。
Yeah， 是的。So how many of you cannot understand Mandarin? Everybody can understand? Roughly you can grasp what he is trying to tell you. So this is what we reallyappreciate, because this style of sharing is very beautiful. It comes from another Kayanamita, and he described it in his own words. He has not heard from anybody. He has not heard from me also. Then he has this understanding. That's why just now he came and shared with me. I said, Sadhu, I said, it's from your past. That's why when that condition is there, when everything falls into place, this will manifest. But before that, he got the coming obstruction because of certain thing that he has done to mislead certain people, cultivator. Then after he asked for forgiveness for 6 months, then he went to Ajahn Ananda Rayong with Yun Chan and a few, I think 2 or 3 other kilometers. Then there was a Kuan Yin up there, I think. Is it on a hilltop? Yeah, it's on a hilltop.And it's normally closed one. But that day, somehow, they managed to go up there. Then while he was doing the bowing, asking for forgiveness, because to develop the mindfulness, then all of a sudden, they play this Heart Sutta music, the chanting. Then this one, because it's Sanskrit version, so it hit him straight away, connect. Then straight away, after that chanting,move on its own inside him, understand not? So it's not something that he want to do or he don't want to do, it's from the past, it come, connect. Then after that at night, 12, I think midnight, is it? He spent 1 hour reading my notes, the Heart Sutta note, especially the one on the appendix, Krishnamurti code. He start to understand. Last time he read 6 times, Patijasamupada, he cannot understand. But after that, the moment he connect, he read, he understand, and it's so different. Then he was so full of joy, that's why even before he come back here in New York for those few nights when he was there, that chanting keep on moving inside his heart. Then he has this clarity, this mindfulness, this awareness. And because of that connection, he inherited back what he has cultivated before. But in the past cultivation, when he cultivate, he don't have such penetrative Dhamma to guide him to actually penetrate. He has that mindfulness, that chanting and all those things. But at that those life, he didn't have that type of Dhamma. So luckily he brought that Heart Sutta note. That's why he after that he keep on telling all the other Kayamita, you no need to go and look for anything else. Everything you want to find, the answer is in that Heart Sutta note, the short notes. Everything is there. So because of that, he has this ability to connect. The reason being, this teaching comes from the silent mind, the true mind. If you have not connect and realize that silent mind, the awareness, that true mind, you cannot comprehend because it comes from that type of awakening. So you must go through that. That's why you cannot keep on saying, wow, how come people so easy? Hear one chanting only, connect, kautim already. Why I so many years, I so chant. Last time also he told me the same thing, what song. You ask him and say, when Polite came, he keep on telling me, he say, how come Polite just arrived so fast she learned. Then he said, I so chant, follow Brother Teo so many years, like nothing. I said, no, not like that. Your time will come, not time yet. The condition has not fallen. Then I suspect the coming obstruction. That's why I told him. Then luckily he actually contemplated, then he realized everything I teach him is the opposite of what he learned from the other tradition that he was involved in for 15 years of meditation. Then he realized that one got problem. That's why he decided to reverse the cultivation. Whereas the other one don't allow them to do puja and all those things. Don't talk about spiritual faculty and all those things. The emphasis is just vipassana. Understand? Vipassana. Want to be enlightened only. Everything is vipassana. Inside. The basic Dhamma not there. The essential Dhamma not there. Then the spiritual faculty not emphasized. Then the right view or not taught. Then puja not important. These are all right and ritual, is it? Don't bow. Don't have image. The teaching is so contradictory. So because of that, he reversed the whole cultivation. Then he focused on asking for forgiveness. Then vow not to repeat all this. Then invoke the power of merits for causes and conditions for him to walk the path of Dhamma to realize the truth. Then after that, he also developed the bowing. The bowing developed the daily mindfulness. That one very important. So all this combined, then when the chanting come, coming obstruction already weakened, then suddenly it connect. That's how he became so different over the last 1 year plus. And he penetrate very fast and he understand very fast. So this question that he asked is very beautiful because he said Heart Sutta is about emptiness. Emptiness is form, form is emptiness. And emptiness does not differ from form, for form itself is emptiness. He said, how come in one of his, before the Thursday class he come, when he contemplate, he said, it's like this teaching is like his good friend has been with him for very long. It's like, it is a long lost friend that he suddenly come to connect with again. Then as he contemplate and reflect, then deep inside the heart, all of a sudden he just tell him, the whole of emptiness is just love and compassion, which is very true. Because when you understand what is nature, nature is the two aspects, remember? The unconditioned and the conditioned world. Within the conditioned world is the condition arising Dhamma, existential world. Within the unconditioned, there is nothing. That's why Heart Sutta say, in true emptiness, there is no four noble truth. In true emptiness, there is no birth, no old age, no sickness, no death, no six sandal, no four noble truth, no five aggregate of form and mind. The 18 sense, right? All this is to be. But in true emptiness, there is wonderful existence. What is wonderful existence? When you just have love and compassion, that is wonderful existence. That is what the Bodhisattva is all about, understand? That's why your three pure precepts, three sets of pure precepts, on the 26th you will learn. These are the advice of all Buddhas. All evil you have to avoid. Then you have to cultivate all virtue, all of the blessings, perfection, virtues. So this is what love and compassion is all about. When you have love and compassion, incapable of negativity, means you have the Dhamma. Life becomes wonderful. Understand? That's why you understand true emptiness. That's why true emptiness is actually love and compassion. Without love and compassion, there is no such thing as true emptiness, no meaning. Understand? That's why in true emptiness, existence is wonderful. 真空妙有. So this is how the understanding come about. Eh? Okay, don't use the thought. Eh? The thought cannot understand. Earlier he asked me, is it, what Theo is it? After this one tell him, then he used the thought. No? He said, how can emptiness be love and compassion? He cannot link. No? That's why he want to come and ask. Understand? I already told you all, when you cultivate, don't go and understand. Don't try to understand, because the thought cannot understand. Yet this realization that arises from the nature is beyond thought, beyond mind. The logical mind cannot understand. Yeah. And then you ask the question, Nebratil, how can you understand? That's why you are asking the chicken and the egg story. I can understand it because I have stabilized all this, perfected all this. I can use word to express it to you because it has become a part of my nature, understand? Because you have to go through the phases, like I say, these are the passing phases of cultivation. So always remember as you cultivate, whatever that arises is part of the way. Don't go and try to understand. Later on you will understand. As you stabilize, as you carry forth the vow to penetrate, to cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma. Yeah. When you cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma, then you stabilize your wisdom. Then your wisdom become very different. And then that time you can explain. You can teach. You can share. Otherwise, you understand, but you cannot share. Understand? You cannot express it out because it has not become a part of you. Like in the stock market. Stock market. Buy low, sell high, sure make money. But can do or not? How many people can do? After you can do, you try to explain to people and say, you cannot. You say, buy low, sell high. When is low? Your war that time low. Crisis that time low. You only know how to tell him like that. But a lot of the finer, more finer detail you cannot tell him on, because you are not stable yet. But if you ask me, I can tell you, because the stock market also I'm very expert in it. All the cycle and all the movement, all the psychology, all I understand, because through Dhamma I penetrate them very fast. And I don't learn from book. Of course, I read certain books that have what they call very good write up by people or very good experiences. Like there is one book which I picked up during the early day when I was in MU. I helped the photostat shop people set up the thing, the PowerPoint. Then I went and checked. I just get the thing is not in order. Then when I went there, he was so happy. You know, he said, Mr. Teo, thank you so much. He said, your technician came. So straight away, the PowerPoint were there. Then his man started 5-6 machine of photosetting. And there were a lot of books there. And the very funny thing is, I stand there, I saw one pile of book. On top of it, I saw the title very strange. You know, how to triple your money in the stock market. You know. Hey, I said, got such book on. Yeah, as an engineering student, I never knew got such book. You know. Actually, under economics, portfolio management. I didn't know. Yeah, I took out that book. Then I asked the owner of the photostat machine, Eric, his name is Eric Tan. Later on, he became my good friend. I said, can help me to photostat also this book? He said, no problem. Straight away, I do it for you. Oh, he get a girl. Straight away, photostat passed to me. That was the book that come by itself. The moment I read the book, it's written by Brady in the 60s. In the 60s, they were ahead of us. I think that book continued until the 70s. So that book, the moment I read that book, like I understand the whole market psychology. You know, this guy is like telling me the experience that he went through. You know, how he was a stock market operator. You know, he operates stock. You know. He do all those funny things, you know. And he from zero base become very wealthy, you know. Then go bust again, you know. Then come up again very wealthy, you know. Go bust again, you know. 3 times, you know. But the third time he never go bust again. After the third time he stopped everything. He is a crazy fellow, you know. But he really very good. He tell you all his experience, how he became very rich, then how he actually lost his money. You know, during that time, assassination of what Kennedy, 1962. Then who was the vice president? Lyndon Johnson. The vice president who take over, Lyndon Johnson, Lyndon Johnson, something like that. You know what happened? Or not? After that assassination, everybody is just like they say, mo gan tai. No eye to see the market. They are so bearish, understand? No? So bearish. And everything points towards bearish. Because Johnson was assassinated, the economy was going down, and this vice president was a useless guy. And they know he cannot do anything. And they believe he's part of the assassin. He hired the assassin to kill one. Because as a vice president, he will take over. Then you know what happened. He put all his money and shot the futures. No? He said, you can never play against God. He said. You know what happened or not? That vice president, he used the word that stupid fellow. He just make one announcement, no? That he is not standing for presidency. You know? The moment he announced that, the whole market reversed, shoot up. Then he lost all his position. No? That's why he wipe off bankrupt. Then he start whole again. But he was a very good stock operator. Market psychology. Syndicate go and look for him to operate stock on. And he very good at operating stock on. Then there was one case he mentioned. This one you all can learn. Because he was so good. Everybody want him to operate his stock. Let's say you got a listed company that not active one. Your stock nobody buy, nobody interested. But this guy is a very famous stock operator. No? If he is willing to take up your stock to operate, he will show operate. And you will go up to very high. And you know what happened or not? There was this very rich people, one group of them. Every time they let him operate, they make a lot of money. Then there was one stock. Everybody in the market thought it was a darling. No? Then this stock, the owner, go and get this fellow to operate. No? This fellow refused to operate for him. No? Yeah, he know this fellow is up to no good one. But they know that he got a very good friend, no? Which he cannot say no one. So they go to his friend and indirectly influence the friend and ask the friend to help because this friend owed them a favor. So this friend talked to him. Then he said, okay, because of you, I will do it. You know what happened? He took up the offer. He promised to operate the stock. And you know what happened? The moment the news went out that he is going to operate the stock, everybody went in and buy the stock. Then he didn't operate. He didn't do anything. Then when the time come, the owner came and demand, you're supposed to operate, why you didn't operate? He said, you all already operated. You understand? You all already operated. He said, you all already go and buy until that value. How can I operate some more? He you understand him or not? Let's say the news came out at Taiwan 50. The moment the news came out, they buy until $4-$5 already. He said, what is there for me to operate? It's already 3 times up. Understand? You all already operate for me. He said, the contract I deliver back to you. Operated already. He said. But he said, you didn't sell anything. You did. Now you can sell in the stock market. What? He said, $4.50 already. What? You understand? That's why he is very wise. Then after that, he don't operate anymore. He retire. So all these are very unique people. But they are worldly people. Understand? If they have spiritual understanding, they will be very different. Sorry. We better stop. 10:40 already. Okay, we better end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You all can reach out. How come today talk about stock market? A lot of books I read, you all will never read one, I tell you. You know, when I was studying civil engineering, first year, second year, third year, I bought a lot of engineering book. Final year, I never buy any engineering book. I bought a lot of financial book. Then I went to the library. I borrowed all the world top scientists. I read all the Einstein and all those books. That's why very, very strange. We are final year, somehow, very lucky. I finished my thesis first term, sent for binding. People haven't even started. I sent my thesis for binding after the first term. I submitted my thesis beginning of second term. That's why I got a lot of free time in final year. Then I do a lot of other things. So, that's why the life biography very different. Later on, if it has the condition, it will manifest. Then we see how it goes. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. Then after that, transform merits. Then you all can make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata. Vanaga mahindika tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan. Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share this merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, now we will chant the blessing for our nation. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampati hetu ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Now you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of this marriage that we have just acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.